Evening. Welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this evening, I want you to know that our doors swing on welcome hinges, and we're so excited that you've decided to worship with us this evening. And to the saints that are here, what a pleasure it is to stand before you to deliver the word of God to the people of God. I'd like to say that this morning was, I don't know about you, but it was quite a buzz for me this morning. We had quite a number of visitors, and what a wonderful way to bring in the new year, talking about having a burning desire and a passion to serve God and to love Him with all of our hearts. And so I'd like to thank you all for your encouraging words. You always are encouraging. You're always positive, and it means a lot to me. And I hope that we can continue to carry this zeal and this buzz that I feel that we have right now, so that we can continue to do what we can to encourage not only one another, but this community. This morning's lesson was about having zeal, maintaining zeal for God. And so I thought it would be fitting this evening to talk about, it's one thing to have the zeal, but to get to that place, how do we get there? And one of the things I think that we need to have faith in is how to overcome the world, how to overcome the world. So this evening's lesson will be how to overcome the world. And there will be four points that I'd like to make. The first one is that we can overcome the world because God has given us the power to do so. Secondly, faith gives us the victory. Third, the world shows us the alternative. And fourth, the result of overcoming gives us the motivation. If you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, I would like for you to turn with me to John chapter 16. That's John chapter 16. I'll be flipping with you all today. John chapter 16, we'll be looking at verse 33. And the infallible word of God reads, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. About the text, Jesus overcame the world through his death. He overcame the world through his death. And it's encouraging to me, and it ought to be encouraging to you, that one of the things that I think that we can do as far as dying is dying to ourselves. Learning how to die to the impulses of reacting and living and responding like the world. Jesus overcame the world by his death and through his death, but Paul says that he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This is found in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. But we have to be mindful and remember that he overcame the world through his death. Overcoming the world means something very simple, and that means overcoming sin. Overcoming sin. Which is in it. So the question is, can we overcome the world as Jesus did? Can we overcome the world as Jesus did? The first point I would like to make is God gives us the power to do so. He gives us the power to do so. God is in us, and he gives us the power to overcome. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. That's 1 John chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 4 through 6. And the word of God reads, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, the God power that we're looking for is in His Word. When you feel powerless, go to the Word. When you feel like you can't go on any longer, you got to go to the Word. When times are tough, you go to the Word to be reminded of what God has done, the promises He has made, the love that He has shown. It is a constant reminder that He gives us the power through His Word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." We got to go to the Word. So we can overcome simply by having the knowledge of God's Word. Simply, we fail in every area of our lives because there is a lack of knowledge. It's that simple. We fail for a lack of knowledge. If you think about it, relationships fail for a lack of knowledge. You fail tests for a lack of knowledge. You make mistakes based on the lack of knowledge. If you asked a young person that was driving for the first time, you know, some things about what they need to do concerning traffic things, if they're not knowledgeable, they will fail at it. And exactly is what's going on with us now. We fail because there is a lack of knowledge. But I want to encourage you that faith gives us the victory. See, once you acquire the knowledge, you got to have the faith, right? I'm standing up here preaching the Word of God. You're hearing that portion, but now you have to start exercising faith. Faith gives you the victory to overcome the world. The knowledge of God's world gives you and equips you for the things that you need to know, but there's something more you got to put into place, and that is faith. 1 John chapter 5, looking at verses 4 and 5. That's 1 John chapter 5, looking at verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Did you see that? It simply told us right here. I'll read it again. It says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." You overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith is necessary to overcome the world. And faith gives you the victory. Because who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Again, we sometimes get down on ourselves and feel like there is no way. But you already have the victory when you are in Christ. But you gotta have the faith to believe as you go through the things of life. And then you have to understand the manifestation of our faith. And that is being born of God. In John chapter 3, let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, looking at verses 3 through 5. That's John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That takes faith. You have to believe that baptism saves. Truly I say to you that the one, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We have to understand that being born again is important. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There is a common theme here, saints. Each time that you're going through something, we are reminded to get back to the word of God. Not the word of man, not the promises of man, but the word and the promises of God. It is a constant reminder that we have the victory. It's important for us to understand this so that we don't have a zealous type of faith and we don't have the energy or the desire or the will to or this lackluster type of attitude when it comes to serving God. We have to stay in the word. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. At the end of the day, when we're talking about faith, what ought to be the object of our faith? What ought to be the source of our faith? Right? What ought to be the source and the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. That's who we ought to be looking to. The last time I spoke, I said, we got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the object of our faith. We understood that by Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16. We understand that by John's persuasion in John chapter 20. We got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus while we keep our minds stayed in the word. Eyes fixed, mind stayed. Heart open, having the faith to realize that you have the victory. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I chose to be a believer and I chose to exercise my faith by knowing because I've chosen him in that I have the victory. We have to constantly be reminded of that. And one way we can do that is simply by knowing that the world shows us the alternative. It's not hard to see the difference between being in Christ, being out of Christ, having faith and being faithless, having zeal and being zestless. We see the alternative and the world shows us. Why? Because Satan is the one who controls it all. Satan is the controller of the world. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lieth in the evil one. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. It says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So it's no secret that we are believers. It's no secret that we have obeyed the gospel. But what we do know, which is also not a secret, that we live in a world that lies and they are following the evil one. There is nothing good about Satan. Please, somebody tell me something good about him. Anybody got anything good? No good reports? Nothing? Exactly why we got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and our mind stayed in the world. There is nothing good about Satan. He is, according to the word of God, the father of lies. He's not a person who lies. He's not a person who struggles with it every now and then. He is the father of lies. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says he is a murderer from the beginning. That's what he was from the beginning. He did not abide in the truth from the beginning because there is no truth in him. And yet we put more stock in the world in which he is the father of, in which he is in control of, than trusting in God. We have to get our minds stayed and fixed on Jesus. And it says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He created, his seed is lying. He is the father of lies. He is an adversary. He shows us every single day how he operates through the way the world operates. To this day, it is constant killing and murdering and robbing and stealing. You can't turn on the news and be able to just see all the goodness and all the things that God's people are doing. They're not reporting on that. We don't get to hear about the person that went out of their way to help a family who lost a loved one, or their house burned down, or they needed food, and it was the church that it bonded together to try to help them. We don't hear about that, but all we see is what the adversary is doing. And it tells us to be sober in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And every time I read this, I think about how we sometimes put ourselves in the position to be devoured. 1st and foremost, when you think about when a lioness hunts for the lion, because that happens more often than not, but I know they usually show the lion doing it, but when a lion hunts, especially if he's going to do it by himself, he waits to see the weaker one out of the flock and the one who separates himself from the flock. It's that one little one that's not as fast as everybody else, who's off by himself, separate from everybody else, doing his own thing from everyone else. And you tell me why Christian unity isn't important. We got to stay together. We got to stick together. We have to make sure that we're all with the same end goal in mind. That means being in fellowship. I'm going to preach on that, because fellowship is not a common meal. That's not what fellowship is. So I would definitely talk about that. But fellowship is having the same goal in mind, with the same end goal in mind. So we all understand that we're in fellowship when we take communion. The reason being is because all of our minds is on one thing, should be on one thing and one thing only. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're all doing the same thing at the same time with the same end goal in mind. That's fellowship. We have to continue to do that because he's seeking to destroy us. And we don't have time to get away from staying connected. He is a deceiver, saints. Let me tell you something. And for Satan himself, He is one who will make you believe the things that are wrong are right and the things that are right are wrong. That's the deception that the devil does. But we see that today. There is no need for me to give an example, because we see that today. We see it in the church. We see it in the world. We see it in our families. We see it in relationships. It's all twisted now. Everything is turned around. But the word of God speaks of it. Well, man will begin to believe the things that are wrong are right and the things that are right are wrong. And they will continue to do evil more and more. But we have to be reminded that the world shows us the alternative. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. Really quickly, 2 Peter. I'll look at chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at verses 19 and through 22. And the infallible word of God reads, they promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. If it is possible for us to overcome the world, it is also possible, saints, for the world to overcome us. We have to stay mindful of that. We can't sit back and relax and say, well, yeah, you know, I got the faith, and faith gives me the victory, as if I can't fall, or as if I can't be consumed, or if I can't be deceived, or some things can't happen. We have to be mindful and stay and keep watch, because we too can be consumed by the things of this world. But the result, when you get to the place that you say to yourself that I love the Lord, and I love him, and I'm going to serve him, the result of overcoming gives you the motivation. You think about those times where you were going through something and you actually exercise faith like you're supposed to, pray like you're supposed to, believe like you're supposed to, had the right attitude like you're supposed to, came to services like you're supposed to, conducted yourself in the household and the relationships, and how you responded and not reacted in your household. How when you overcame by doing it God's way, the Christian way, how it motivated you. Think about every time you did it God's way, how it motivated you. I think about every time I could have did it my way, but I chose to do it God's way. I was so motivated. Oh, I can really do this. It's really not that hard. Most of the things that we do to ourselves. Most of the situations we put ourselves in is because of us. But there's a motivation that comes with it when we overcome. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You got that to look forward to. That ought to give you the motivation. Remember, every time you overcome temptation, you gain credibility with God. We don't think about that. Think about if we had a friendship, and each time you asked me, brother, can you help me? I need you to do this. I'm right there. And every time I came through, every time you needed me, I was there. Every time there was a requirement or something you asked of me to do, not only did I do it, I did it well, and I did it with a smile. Tell me, will that not gain credibility with you in our relationship? There's no different when we are faced with sin and the hard times come and we do it God's way, we gain credibility. And we ought to be motivated by it. The second one is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So we shouldn't be worried about the first. We should be worried about the second. And we worry about that by how we live our lives now. We're being judged by how we live now. Three. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in a white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to get a little bit motivated here. I'm beginning to see why I need to remember that I can overcome the world through God's word. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That ought to motivate you. That ought to motivate you that there is a seat that awaits you, a place in heaven that awaits you, that I can sit next to my heavenly Father. That's the motivation that I need to know that I can overcome. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Listen, I don't know about you this morning.
I had a few people tell me they felt like they could run through a brick wall. I still feel that way. I still feel that way. And we ought to feel that way every time we get together, every time we sing, every time we meet. We ought to be motivated and have a passion and a desire like none other. So the question is this: do we desire these wonderful blessings? Do you truly desire them? That's the question. Because we understand what it means to desire something. Like you want it, you need it, you crave it, you think about it, it stays on your mind, you wake up with it, you go through lunch and through your day with it, you sleep with it, you dream about it, you talk about it, you type about it, you text about it, you write a blog, you write a poem, it is always on your mind. Do you desire the wonderful blessings? And do you despise the awfulness of this world? Because you can't love it. You can't love it. You can't love this world and love God. You can't. The other words, do you desire to be victorious through faithful living? Because that's what it takes. It takes faithful living. Desiring God's power in our lives should be something that we have in us every day. That desire should be there. And if so, guess what? If you have the desire, then we can overcome by God's power. 2, by our victorious faith. 3, by rejecting the alternative. 4, by allowing the results of victory to motivate us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready. And I hope that I have encouraged you not only to give you some fire behind your belt, a little bit of fire in you to say that I'm going to be a passionate lover of God, of his word and of his people. But not only will I be zealous for him, I too will be mindful that I can overcome the world. So if you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, let me tell you. The one way that you can overcome the world is by having the faith to believe that baptism saves. Believing that his precious blood that was shed for you was the reason that you have the opportunity to have eternal life. And if you want that and you desire that, you can have that today. And if you are a Christian and you have been struggling in some areas of your lives, or you just need prayer, or maybe some questions that you have, feel free to talk to me. The men here, the elders, the deacons, even some of the ladies here that are willing to work with you and be with you, just make it known. We are a family, and unity is necessary and needed as we all go through the ups and downs of life. But there should be no better place to go than to be with God's people. So if your desire is to put on Christ in baptism, or you need the prayers of the church, make that need known now as together we stand and sing.